and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. We're glad you're with us on the program this week. And my guest today, speaking to us by phone from his office, is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. If you'd like to call in a question for the mayor today, you can call 765-496-1999. You can also send your questions via email to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon to you. Thanks, as always, for the time.
Stan, great to be here with you.
So as you have no doubt noticed on your thermometer, or if you've walked outside today, it's one of the hotter days we've had. And that caused me to think about, in a small to mid-sized town like yours, what kind of resources are available to people when it does get oppressively hot? We've heard about heat index readings above 100 degrees today and tomorrow. What can people in Frankfort avail themselves of to try to stay cool and, in some cases, just stay safe?
Well, great question, Stan. First and foremost, try to use common sense out there. It is going to be very, very hot, so of course you want to drink plenty of water. You want to try to avoid carbonated or alcoholic beverages. If you can, rest. Take frequent breaks during those outdoor activities. Try to find shade. Stay indoors to limit exposure to the sun. A couple resources that I want our constituency to know about. We do work very, very closely with the American Red Cross. If you're having a community event, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe it's in a park, and you feel as though that you need additional access to water or a mister of some kind to keep those participating in your event safe and healthy, give my office a call, and we'd be happy to reach out to the American Red Cross. Also, from a utilities perspective, I know individuals that are falling on hard times have issues keeping up with those utility bills. If you're in an extreme situation, keep in mind that you can contact your township trustee. That body does allocate funds to help individuals on a case-by-case basis. And of course, Stan, the majority of my constituents would be within Center Township. So you'd contact the Center Township trustee. So those are just a couple of tips and a couple of resources that people can use to keep themselves safe during this hot time.
Are there city buildings that people can go to that would have air conditioning, or do you partner with, I know local churches partner with city governments in some places. Do you do any of that?
Well, of course, I mean, I know I can speak on behalf of our faith-based community, Stan. We have close to 92 church organizations of certain denominations throughout Clinton County, and I know if anyone needed to get inside out of the heat, obviously, find a church in your neighborhood, whether it be St. Matthew, St. Mary, First Christian Church, Faith Baptist. I mean, I could go on, and I'm sure that those faith-based leaders would be happy to help you. Also, keep in mind, we do have local community buildings such as the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, the Neighborhood Center on 3rd Street offers free meals throughout the week, and there is air conditioning there. I would invite people into Old Stoney in a heartbeat, but as you and I both know, City Hall is still under renovation. So keep in mind, those faith-based centers, the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, will definitely offer assistance to those if you're in a tight pinch.
What about people who are unable to leave their homes for some reason? Do you have any mechanism to help check up on those people to make sure they're doing all right?
Well, I would definitely tell people, if you're getting to a point in time that you feel as though your health is in jeopardy, I consider that an emergency. So please call 911. If you're sitting out there right now and you're having a problem with your air conditioner, it's probably a good thing to let your neighbor know that, especially if you're elderly, so that neighbor can maybe check up on you. But of course, if anyone feels as though an emergent situation is occurring, please call 911, and we will be happy to dispatch the proper emergency services, whether that be medical, fire, and or police. We do have a property watch program, Stan, through our police department, and I know we would make an exception if there's an elderly individual out there. This program is normally for people that are on vacation, but if you would like to call the police department and sign yourself up for property watch, I know our officers would be happy to keep an eye on you, do a welfare check on a daily basis to make sure the heat's not getting you down.
You of course, have had a relatively mild summer like we have here. And nonetheless, you've got your annual hot dog festival, which is your big summer festival every year that's coming up. As the temperature warms, what do you do, for instance, to try to keep people safe when you've got all those people on the streets of Frankfurt?
Sure. Well, we try to do as stringent of a job as possible to have those emergency procedure protocols in place. And as you alluded to, next Friday and Saturday, the dates of the 29th and the 30th of July, we will be holding our annual hot dog festival in downtown Frankfurt, complete with vendors, entertainment, food, music, you name it. It will be a place to be. Also, keeping in mind that we have designated areas. For example, in our emergency procedure plan that we put together for the hot dog festival, if tornadic activity were to creep up on us during those festival times, we have key buildings in the downtown designated, whether it be the basement of Pepe's or the Clinton County Courthouse, that we know we can communicate to people and funnel them into these pre-approved spaces by the building owners to keep them safe. I know many of our downtown business owners, of course, will have their doors open during the hot dog festival, and all of them do have air conditioning, and I know that they would love for consumers, potential consumers, to come in, get out of the heat, and do a little shopping in downtown Frankfurt. And, of course, the American Red Cross will be on site during the festival to offer water. We'll have plenty of police officers and firefighters, so if you're feeling like heat stroke or heat exhaustion is coming on, flag down a volunteer, flag down emergency personnel, and we'll get you the help you need.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes. Call in your questions at 496-1999. Email them to ask@WBAA.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been the big story of the last week or so. Of course, there's been a fair shakeup in your party due to Mike Pence being named as Donald Trump's running mate. What do you make of all of the mixing and matching that's going on the GOP ticket?
No, it's crazy. You know, of course, in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this in Indiana. Normally, even our primary, and I think you and I have spoken about this, is pretty much inconsequential. And I feel as though our constituents got a real treat this year when our primary really did matter, especially on the Republican side. It was our state that really gave the Trump campaign the momentum and the confidence to close it out. And shortly thereafter, Senator Cruz ended his bid for the presidency. I'm incredibly proud that our governor is our vice presidential candidate. I'm very proud to think that we could have an Indiana leader in the White House come next January. I think it was a very smart move for the Trump campaign. I do think it balances out the ticket. With the track record here in Indiana, I think that our state has a good story to tell, and obviously that's done through the top executive, and that's Governor Pence. I would be remiss to say, though, you know, his predecessor, Governor Mitch Daniels, also added to much of the success that we're experiencing now, so we still want to applaud former Governor Daniels for his leadership. But now, as we see the domino effect happening in the state of Indiana, our Congressman Todd Rokita, Susan Brooks, Lieutenant Governor Eric Holcomb, all vying for this position. I think the Republican Party will have a great gubernatorial candidate, and hopefully we can stay competitive going into this fall election.
Well, and we've heard that Congressman Rokita has been in Cleveland working hard, trying to solicit votes from the state Republican Central Committee, which will vote next Tuesday on whether it's he or Congresswoman Brooks or Lieutenant Governor Holcomb who will become the successor to Governor Pence. And you, I should say, have been mentioned in some circles as a possible successor to Todd Rokita. You have said on this program that you would not run directly against him. You've said you respect him and you wouldn't directly oppose him. But I would be remiss myself if I did not pose this to you. Let's say for a second that he becomes the gubernatorial nominee. Would you consider running for the 4th District seat?
Of course. I would be absolutely open to that, Stan. My wife and I have talked a lot about that in the past couple of weeks. If you would have told me I'd be mayor of my hometown 10 years ago, I would have told you you're absolutely nuts. But as a believer, I also understand that I believe our Creator puts us in destine positions to carry out his will. And so, of course, I have to stay open to that, but I also have to ask myself, where can I be of most positive influence and a position of leadership in our country? Right now, the city of Frankfort, we're on the move. I can make large things happen. So I would also have to ask myself, how much more influence could I really have being a freshman congressman sitting in the back row, really, of the U.S. House of Representatives? But of course, if that opportunity came open, I would definitely pray about it. I would think about it. I think we could take the same type of common sense conservative leadership that we've deployed here in Frankfort to Washington, D.C., and truly advocate for our constituency. I'll tell you my selfish desire, though, Stan. My selfish desire, I would love to see our current sitting U.S. Congressman Todd Rokita stay in the halls of that hallowed Congress in Washington, D.C. I love his principles. I love what he fights for. And Mrs. Brooks, too. I mean, what a tremendous rising star in the Republican Party. I personally think that Lieutenant Governor Eric Holcomb is uniquely positioned to lead our state as governor, serving with Mitch Daniels, Mike Pence, Senator Dan Coats, leading the Republican Party. And the thing about Eric is he's so well in tune with local communities. He understands our needs. He understands that cutting the bureaucracy and empowering local communities to make our own decisions, to work with the private sector so they can create jobs, is incredibly important. So I think he's uniquely positioned to be an incredibly effective governor, and that would give us the ability to hang on to our two all-stars, Todd Rokita and Susan Brooks, in D.C., for them to continue the conservative movement there.
Don't you worry, though, as a Republican, that it seems fairly clear that of those three, those are the three big names in the race. I think State Senator Jim Toms is pretty much a non-factor. All of the pundits agree. So let's keep to the three big names. Of those three, it seems clear Lieutenant Governor Holcomb has the least name recognition. And when you're talking about trying to run a truncated election against somebody in Mr. Gregg, former Speaker Gregg, who's been running his campaign for a good long while now, don't you worry that if you take the person with the lowest name recognition of the three challengers, that your party gets behind the eight ball a little bit?
Well, the same thing could be said right now of Governor Mike Pence. Really not many people in America on the whole, I should say now, knew who Governor Mike Pence was after his 60 Minutes segment, after the RNC speech last night. People are becoming to love Mike Pence just as we do here in Indiana on the conservative side, and his conservative message is stretching throughout this country and I believe will ignite our ticket going into the presidential election. I think the same thing can be said for Lieutenant Governor Eric Holcomb. I think he does have the time to get that message out, and also keeping in mind that Eric has worked with our parties for so very long, he's so very well connected to hundreds of local leaders across the state, and that's what I love about Eric. He's a leader, but he doesn't demand the limelight. He's done so much in the background. He's so humble that that's just his style of leadership. I think he's a little more well-known than what people give him credit for. And let's keep in mind, Governor Pence has this amazing war chest, and it would be logical that whoever this candidate is, that Governor Pence helped that candidate with proper funding, now that we are on this truncated schedule, to help that candidate get their message out. So I do think Lieutenant Governor Holcomb can and hopefully will be successful in the fall.
Let's go back to you for a second. Has anyone from the party approached you about the possibility of replacing Congressman Rokita on the 4th District ticket if he is named the GOP gubernatorial nominee?
No one has approached me. You know, I'm a big believer that your work speaks for itself. I am so enthralled right now in what is happening in Frankfort. We have projects across this city, and Samantha and I have talked about this, and I think the political lobbying and the connecting to different folks, yes, there's a place for it, but what's more important is that I do my job that the people voted me to do for the next 4 years. And if I do it well, you know, I believe that their odds are that opportunities will open up for me to expand my leadership capabilities to hopefully maybe one day help our state or even help our nation.
Well, don't you have to think about the fact that the timeline is somewhat uncertain and you never quite know when that opportunity is going to come? I mean, I know you're in your first year of a second term. You were just reelected. But isn't it possible that this could be that opportunity?
Absolutely. And my personal belief, Stan, that's why, you know, for me and my wife, you know, I pray about it. I put that in God's hands. I speak to my close circle here in Frankfurt, the department heads and the Board of Works members that I work every day with and for. And I believe that will be laid on my heart. And if there's an opportunity, I'll consider it a duty to meet that call and serve my state, serve my hometown, and serve my nation. I will do that.
A couple other names we've heard of possibly in that race. State Senator Ron Alting from here in Lafayette has said he's considering running. There have been people who have talked about Logan Sports State Senator Randy Head. Would whether those two gentlemen or others get into the race, in other words, what the field looks like, change your mind one way or the other?
You'd have to take that into consideration, but, you know, when I ran for mayor, I really wasn't too concerned about who I was running against. I was rather concerned with the message that I had for Frankfurt and what I wanted to do for my hometown. I think, you know, too much in politics nowadays, and we're seeing it happen now, you're so worried about mudslinging, you're so worried about cutting other people down. You know, why not just expound on a positive message? It's kind of like the game of golf. You're not playing against your competitors, you're playing against the golf course, the terrain. So I can tell you, Stan, if I was convicted, if I felt as though the timing was right, if I felt as though I could take the common sense leadership, the conservative principles that we've deployed here in Frankfurt, and take that to the national level, it wouldn't matter who was running against me, because I would present the message to the people that I would potentially serve, and I would let them decide who would be best to serve them.
We've got about 10 minutes left with Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes on this edition of Ask the Mayor here on WBAA. Call in your phone calls. 765-496-1999 is the telephone number. You can tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter or send them via email to ask@WBAA.org. Well, you mentioned playing golf just a second ago. I thought I would check in to see, now that you're about halfway through a golf season wherein you're trying to get your city's golf course closer to being or at least breaking even, if not making a profit. How's that going? How are you doing in terms of getting it out of the red?
Well, I can tell you, I'll start with the conditions themselves. The conditions, folks, have grown in the positive leaps and bounds. For those of you who maybe played our course last year, or perhaps even played it early in the year this year, I challenge you to come back to give us one more chance. I can tell you, I've been out, I've driven the course, I do keep an eye on things because it's such an intrinsic part of the community now. Our greens are playing better, our fairways are looking better than they ever have. They're being treated properly. Our irrigation system, which is a bit antiquated, is now at full pressure, so we're properly watering things. We're keeping a close eye on conditions here as the heat increases over the next couple days. It's a real treat to play our golf course, and we feel as though the cost that it takes to play the course, you'll feel a return on that by the experience that you have. And then on the flip side of that, Stan, getting to the profit or getting to the loss, that goes back to our management firm. Oliphant Management Group is doing a tremendous job with service. You're going to have a wonderful experience here at the Frankfurt Commons. What I've done for next year in the budget proposal that I'll be giving to the council, Stan, I will be proposing a $150,000 line item, just as we did this year, for the Frankfurt Commons. It was our goal this year to hit right at 16,000 rounds. I think by the end of the year, with a shake of good weather, that we will get there. So going into negotiations with Oliphant next year, we'll talk about a portion of the revenues that Oliphant sees perhaps coming back to the city to be used for capital improvements over time, whether that be the golf course itself and or the equipment that we need to take care of the golf course. But our goal this year was to stabilize the product, market the product well, and show our golfers and our community that the course conditions themselves and the service they experience are both going to improve rapidly. And I think moving into next year, you'll see even more of an uptick of that. Just another one of those amenities that's incredibly important when attracting young professionals and higher income earners to our community. So we're proud of it, and we're going to keep working hard to make it even better.
But are you saying it's not yet any more profitable than it was? I mean, you were losing $75,000 to $90,000 a year on it as recently as last year.
Sure. Well, this year, you have to understand the management agreement that we have an obligation to the Oliphant Management Group. So we pay them $75,000 a year to manage that golf course. We also take care of any cost exceeding above $1,000. So much of the equipment this year was purchased by the city of Frankfort. But in terms of a P&L, profit and loss, due to how we set that contract up, those numbers aren't coming back to us. That's not how the contract was set up, simply due to the fact that from a condition standpoint, we were right at the edge of completely losing our golf course. So as we move forward into the coming years, we're going to renegotiate with Oliphant so that when we are seeing more golfers because the product is better, because the service is better, that's when we'll have a true feel on the P&L side of things of where we stand in terms of bringing back revenue to the city from this community asset.
I want to ask, spend a few minutes on the wind ordinance discussion that's been going on with your county's plan commission. Since we talked on the program last month, there's been the continuing debate. Your plan commission folks have said, hey, we want to try and find as much data as we possibly can get to determine whether we want wind turbines. And it seems to me that what's happening, and I'm curious if you view this the same way, is that there are a number of advocates who are arguing against the plan commission. It seems the plan commission isn't really convinced that wind turbines are a good thing. But you've had a number of advocates come in from White County and within the county who say, we really think this could be good. We really think it could be a boon for our farmers, for our economy, for our tax structure. Do you view it that way? Is it a bunch of supporters versus a skeptical plan commission?
Well, I can tell you the plan commission is simply put in an incredibly difficult position because this is a very emotional, divisive topic. And I think what we're seeing, some of the loudest voices, I think, are coming from outside of this community. I think individuals that have maybe lost the fight with what they wanted to see happen with their wind ordinance in an adjacent county and development there are now coming to Clinton County, these advocate groups, and maybe letting their thoughts be known. So keep that in mind, too. I think it's a mix of our citizens and outside factors. I think a couple things are important to know. Number one, we don't have a developer right now approaching the county commissioners, to my knowledge, stating that we want to put 150 turbines in eastern Clinton County. This is all very assumptive, and I think this is all coming to the surface because we are in a county election cycle. Two new county commissioners are being voted in this year, so I think the electorate is simply wanting to make certain that our ordinances are in proper line, and these new commissioners coming in will have a very restrictive set of ordinances should a wind developer come along that suits the overall palette of the community. The plan commission, what I see their job is being is taking recommendations on that wind ordinance itself, and one of the hot button issues are the setbacks in terms of footage. What the APC will do will make a final recommendation to the Clinton County Commissioners, which I understand that may happen by the end of this year. Then we will have an ordinance that the community agrees upon, and the new set of commissioners, should a developer come along, have a set of rules to play by. Here's the question I have, and something that I'm not really hearing spoken about. Maybe it is, maybe I don't know about it. Is this venture economically feasible moving into the future? For example, if conservatives come into the White House, let's just say, for example, this fall, maybe certain subsidies stop flowing down to alternative energy producers. Is wind energy economically viable? Where are we at in terms of comparing the sustainability of this alternative energy grid in comparison to solar, in comparison to nuclear, in comparison to coal, especially with the national election coming along? That's one of the biggest questions that I have. Is it feasible, even without the subsidies, long-term, is it something that our country can continue to sustain? And that will tell us if it's truly perhaps a good thing for Clinton County, and it's something that we can can keep moving into the future in terms of revenue and keeping those wind turbines moving long term.
Well, there are, of course, state tax credits as well. And I mean, isn't it a bit of a red herring to say we're waiting on the election to see what happens? Because there's always another election around the corner, as any politician will remind you, and the structure changes. But you have the ability, and you pointed out on our last program that you had a long-standing wind ordinance before a lot of other counties had one. And so at one point, Clinton County was a leader on this thing. And I wonder if there should be a bigger worry that you guys are going to fall behind on what a lot of other people are doing.
What I'm saying is right now, economically, and I have not been presented this data yet. Sure, you know, new politicians come in and they go. This year is a little bit different. It is a presidential election year. If the election should go a certain way, a new tone most definitely could be set in our country in terms of coal, in terms of fossil fuels, in terms of alternative energies. And what I'm saying is, from an economic standpoint, is it reasonable to believe that wind energy will be sustainable moving into the future? Because this is something that's going to greatly impact our community. You know, take the ordinance off the table for a second. It's just like, you know, if I have a certain industry come into the industrial park and they make a certain product or they do a certain something, that incentive package, the links that we go to properly zone them, the links that we properly go to build infrastructure for them, highly depends upon the sustainability of their product, how many jobs we think that product can create. And if we feel as though, based upon the data, which I haven't seen, that wind, maybe perhaps it's an unknown quantity right now, it's a gray area, it's not sustainable in comparison to other energy products, or it is sustainable, having that data, I think, will help bolster the conversation as to whether this is something that our community really needs to go after.
Isn't there a certain amount of common sense to saying wind is sustainable because there will always be wind?
Perhaps, but also at the same time, we have great amounts of coal in this country. There's always going to be sun. So is it cheaper and is it more sustainable to invest in a solar park and work hard to bring a solar park here long term, or wind? So that resource is obviously always going to be here. What I'm saying is I don't believe the economic data has been produced to understand whether this will be a reliable long-term investment and something our community should really focus upon. Right now, we're hearing about the flicker effect. Right now, we're hearing about the setbacks. And what I simply am saying, that should be a portion of the decision-making process. The other portion of it should be, economically, is it sustainable long-term? And with all of that information, we as a community can make a decision on the direction we want to go in.
So there's a meeting coming up on this on August 1st. Do you plan to go and express those views?
Well, to be honest with you, Stan, I'm not positive what the tenor of that meeting will be. If it's the Area Plan Commission taking comments on a portion of the ordinance itself, which again, that's what the APC is charged with doing. They are not charged with taking emotional feedback on the topic. They're charged with taking feedback and applying that to specific portions and details of that ordinance so they can present the commissioners with a recommendation on how this wind ordinance should be altered, if it is. What I can tell you I'm doing is any community leadership group I'm a part of, whether it be the Clinton County Economic Advancement Foundation, Partners in Progress, my conversations with the Chamber of Commerce, I'm bringing these points up, and other people are kind of saying the same thing. The economic data hasn't been presented, and I know that other community leaders are interested in hearing this feedback as well.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, that's the time we've got. Thanks, as always. Enjoy the hot dog festival, and we'll talk to you next month.
Stan, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can find all of these programs archived at our website, WBAA.org. And we'll be back next week with our monthly conversation with Frankfort, or with rather Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.